We've been in a series about what does it mean to follow Jesus. And the idea has not been that we, in ourselves, that we are the ones who become godly. It's the idea we just follow Jesus and trust in everything he has done for us. And so we're on the sixth habit of this idea of we need to learn to pray. And what does prayer mean? Now, in 2 weeks, we're going to be celebrating Easter, what the world calls Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That moment, what we are doing is we are saying we believe in the impossible. That's that moment. We're saying we know it is physically, scientifically impossible for someone to go through a crucifixion, no less, to die, and then 3 days later, because God is greater than even the laws he created, raise someone up to a new life. And the beautiful story of how that really is about his love for you and me. We are saying as Christians that our hope and the source of everything we believe is that God does the impossible. That's it. So Christianity is not God makes me a better person. Christianity is not like, is just, you know, God helps me and then I do it. It's like, no, Christianity, the very fact of it is, I am in an impossible situation in terms of my own selfishness, my own sin, in terms of everything that I need to be free from and grow into. I am not able. And Christianity is, I believe that God can do the impossible in me when I trust in him. Okay? And so that's really important because we live in a world where most of its healing absolutely seems impossible right now, right? I mean, absolutely. It's like, this seems impossible. You and I, we face things every day about raising our families or about getting free from addiction or overcoming mental illness in a what one person called the tridemic of COVID, race, and politics over the last year. Like, it's impossible to just talk yourself into feeling better. That's just not how this works. But you and I, as Christians, or if you're coming to understand what Christianity is about, is we believe that God can do the impossible. And so it's really about staying close to the God who can do more than you and I can do. We sang this song, you know, I'm not enough, and I don't have the ability to do this. That's right. That's the belief. A Christian doesn't believe they're better than anybody else. They just believe that they're depending on God to do what they and nobody else can do. If we're really going to love our enemy, if we're really going to be people that speak peace instead of hate, we believe that only God can do that as we let him live in our hearts. And so when we come to this idea of prayer, we're not talking about learning how to do something religious, because that would totally ignore the day-to-day miracle that God needs to do in your life and in mine. What we recognize is prayer is our way of staying close to the God in the middle of impossible situations. When you think, I'll never change, they'll never change, it'll never change, the only way we stay next to a God who can do the impossible is we have to stay connected in prayer. In other words, we just have to stay in relationship with him and not get drowned by everything else around us. See, we're not talking about prayer as a religious exercise. We're talking about prayer, without staying connected to God and reaching out to him and opening up your heart, without him, you will not experience God's, and this is an important word, lasting presence, power, and peace. Despite all the good things you know and all the good things you do, there will not be lasting peace and God's presence and his power to overcome without prayer. Now, I'm not saying God won't touch your life. I'm not saying that God won't show up in the middle of a dark moment. He absolutely will. He loves you. He's with you. But for you to live in it in a lasting way, you've got to develop this habit of prayer. And again, not in a religious sense. In the same sense, your heart was made to connect with God, to be in relationship with him. And prayer is really more a priority than it's some sort of trick or some sort of formula. It's just a priority. It's just a choice that says, God, only you can do the impossible. And so really what we trust in, and this is where our faith is based in, that prayer causes us to overflow with instead of overwork for God's goodness in our lives. See, we believe that God's love and acceptance is not based on what we do. We believe it's based on what Jesus has done for us. That while we were still in our sin and selfishness, while we were, I mean, all of us in one way, we want to be God. We want to control things. We want it our way. And in that very dishonor of the God who created us, that his son came, and instead of just giving up some rules to fix things, he said, I will come down and I will give myself to create a new life in you. And so what our faith is based on is not that, oh, God helps me do good works. It's that God has done the good work in the cross. And now, as I open my heart to him and invite his spirit to fill me, the natural overflow of my life is just the goodness of God. It's to forgive and to serve. And so again, religion says work really hard to get God's acceptance. And Christianity says the Son has done all for you. Now just open your heart to it. And instead of living a life of stress and anxiety about I've got to do it, turn now. That means as we follow him, it doesn't mean we just sit off on the side. No, we enter into the pain and the hurt of the world and we join in God's heart for it. But what we're doing is we're trusting that's God in us, not ourselves. And that's why for the last 40 days during the Lenten season, that is a preparation to recognize that Jesus went to the cross and was raised again. We've been in 40 days of prayer, morning, noon, and night, every day for 40 days, Monday through Saturday. We have had prayer on Zoom where anybody can join in. This is the last week of it coming up. And all you've got to do is go to cornerstone.ag/prayer and you jump on. It's just a Zoom. And whether you got 15 minutes or you turn off your video camera and your audio and just listen while you're driving your kids to school, you can be part of prayer. And we just want to encourage you. And why do we do that? Because this world is so hurting and we don't have the answer. I mean, it's impossible what we're going through. And yet, we have a God that does the impossible. And so what we do is we want to stay close to him in prayer. But it's not uncommon for us to be confused about prayer. We got a lot of religious versions out there. And it's interesting because Jesus himself taught on prayer. He knew that, especially in his day with the Pharisees and kind of very religious, formal, kind of really based more on what man wants than what God wants, there was all these ideas of prayer. And Jesus comes and says, let me tell you what God wants in prayer. And so I'm not going to do a great job because I'm just going to give you a few thoughts, but I just want you to hear what Jesus himself said about prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 5, he said that when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. I look at this verse and I think, you know, I think Jesus is saying, don't make prayer about yourself, because that's what they were doing. It was all about them and who saw them. And yet real prayer really doesn't begin with us and it doesn't end with us. It's about God. And you'll see that in a moment as we look at the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, pray this way. Second verse coming up next, Jesus said, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray too. And notice how Jesus talked about God. He's like, he's your father. Now, sometimes father isn't a great relationship for us, but what God is saying is like the original heart of what a father should be. That's God for you. He gave you life, and he loves you, and he's walked with you in everything you've walked in this entire life. He knows where you're at, and what he wants is for you to focus on being with him. Again, religious, like, I'm going to pray to God. It's like, well, no, Jesus said, actually, be with him. He's your Father in heaven. He knows, and he will give you according to your focus on him, not thinking about what everybody else sees when you pray. And then Jesus continues. These are his words. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And I just get from that this idea of like when we're in prayer, we should listen as much as we talk. It's not about how much you say. It's what he wants to say to you. So when you come to prayer, take time to listen. Now, the very next verse is verse 9. And literally Jesus says next, this is how you should pray. Jesus says that. And then what comes next is what is known as the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to ask you right now, you can see it on the screens with me. I'm going to ask that we all read this together out loud and just have a humble heart as we recognize that God is sharing, Jesus is saying, you can literally say these words, but I think it's also a pattern of relationship. And we're just going to take a few minutes to break that down. So would you follow on? Would you read out loud with me right now? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen means it's true. Everything I just said, it's true. So how do we understand, not a formula, but maybe Jesus is saying something about how we have a relationship with our Father in heaven. So I want us to look on that. On your seat or now wherever it got put, I created a little guide. And I'm not trying to give you a formula, but I am trying to give you an idea of what I think the pattern of relationship Jesus talks about here. And I'm hoping you'll keep it and maybe pop a magnet on your fridge with it as a way to remember that every day you can come to God in not a religious way, but a relational way. Just say, God, here's what's on my heart. You're the one who does the impossible, not me. Here's my day. And so you'll notice there's some blanks there in the front. And I just use this definition. We've kind of talked about it. Prayer is being with God, your heavenly Father. It's important to remember who you're with by talking and listening and giving and receiving. In other words, what happens with the one person you love the most that you spend time with them? You're talking, you're listening, you're kind of giving of yourself and you're receiving from them. That is the heart. And I think this Lord's Prayer, it's really the pattern of what God is saying. So you'll notice on this that I just take the sentences from the Lord's Prayer. And I say, you know, I think when we're starting out, it's about worship. It's about remembering who your Father in heaven is. So instead of praying and starting out with God, this is what I need, this is what's going on, this is me, me, me. It's like, you'll notice I put the first three ideas in red because it's the idea of like, hey, stop thinking about you and start thinking about God. Prayer starts with God, not you. If you went up to someone and you totally didn't acknowledge who they were, but then you started talking about everything you want, that would be a really weird conversation. And in the same way, when we come to God, we stop about us and our world and we say, first of all, God, I want to thank you for who you are. And then I want to, instead of me telling everything I need, I'm going to start with, God, what you say. So this is just my personal way of doing it. When I want to spend time with God, the first thing I do is I read a scripture, and then I pray through this. So when I get to agreement, I look at something in the scripture and think, okay, before I'm going to talk about my life, God, I want to say first, I agree with you that this is the way, that verse is true. Like, Lord, I'm not asking you to agree with me. I want to start with what's right, which is I agree with you, and I want to obey. And then I want to go in Thanksgiving when we talk about giving God our daily bread. Well, first of all, you should recognize that you've had some. And so it's just a moment of thanksgiving. And then you move into yellow is, okay, now slow down and slowly go through your life. So now it is about where you're talking about you. And when we talk about, we talk about our requests. And then, and this is so important, every day you should enjoy the gift of experiencing forgiveness from God and learning to forgive others. And the only way to fight bitterness and really the mental illness that leads to is by every day forgiving. And that means not just like, and that means like I forgave them and today I'm still feeling that way. Lord, as I remember how you've forgiven me and what you've done for me, Lord, I again choose to forgive them. And then, boy, we're really listening at guidance, right? Lord, lead us not to temptation. We don't want to do this. Lord, this is your day. And then we move to reaching one, which is, in the end, it's about his power, his kingdom, his glory. In that moment, we're praying for someone else and what they need. So I'm going to take a quick minute, but I just want you to think about the give and the receive of this time with God, okay? When I start out with worship, I'm giving him the praise he deserves. He's still him no matter what I'm going through. And honestly, he's still good and he's still my father. So I always look for in the verse, what's something about who he is that I could say, God, I praise you for being this today. And when I give him the praise he deserves, God begins to pour out and connect with me. And as I reach out to him and open, his spirit comes down. I said a few weeks ago, you know, two people can be going through the same circumstance and one gets defeated by it and one overcomes it. What's the difference? It's the spirit that's in them. It's not your circumstance that determines your future. It's the spirit that's in you as you're handling it. And so with worship, I open up to the one who wants to pour life into me. Agreement. In agreement, I'm giving him my obedience. So I'm making sure this is not about me being God. It's like, you're God, your word's true. I'm going to start there. And then obedience always leads to peace. It may not lead to a peaceful situation, but you'll have peace in your heart when you start to understand. It's like, you know what? I'm on the solid rock. I'm in the right spot. Now, I'm not saying like we're all working on stuff, but it's like, God, thank you. There's peace when I obey you and say, okay, that's how I'm going to do it. Takes the burn off of you. We get to Thanksgiving. What are we giving God? We're giving him kind of the credit and the recognition he deserves despite the hardship we're going through. And you and I mean, most of us fight hard self-pity. When things start going wrong, it's like, woe is me. And it's everybody else is the reason that I'm in the situation I'm in. And it's, you know, and we just get in this space and this an attitude that begins to really warp reality. And so when we take a few moments to say, God, thank you. And when I do this, if I'm on my iPad, I'll copy and paste the scripture. I'll literally write these words and I'll start journaling underneath each one of these. And it is amazing. Even when I first start and I'm on Thanksgiving, I'm like, what do I have to say thank you for? And I just start listening to God and it strengthens my faith and my perspective starts to change. Being thankful is important. Then I move over to requests, and there I just start giving him my burdens. Like, God, I can't handle this. This is too hard. It seems impossible for me. And God's like, it is. Yeah, you can't do it, but I can. And it might not be in my timing, and it might not be the way I want it, but God starts sharing his answers with me. When I get to forgiveness, sin, and I think the best other word for sin is selfishness, right? Selfishness creates chaos in every relationship you're in. When you're selfish, you create chaos in that relationship. And so when I begin to ask God to forgive me, I'm giving him my chaos. I'm giving him, and then I'm giving him the chaos of these emotions. Like, I can't sleep at night because I'm still thinking about that person. It's like, no, when I begin to, one, recognize how I need to be forgiven, and I begin to ask God, help me, I forgive, and I live in forgiveness towards other, things start ordering the right way, and relationships start settling into not chaos, but in order. And then I begin to ask God for his guidance. And it's important. In that moment, I'm giving him my surrender because I'm not going to ask him what he wants me to do and then not do it. Like, that would be, you know, who would like that? And so when I get to this moment, it's really an external. It's like, okay, Lord, lead me not to temptation. What are you showing me about all these things we've been talking about? Where do I need to go next? And then he'll start to unveil his future. And really, I think even the better word here is his victory. It's like, hey, this is how, and I don't mean victory like you win over someone else. I mean victory like, God, I didn't give in to my darkest impulses and my most jaded thoughts. It's like, that's victory in that moment. I did it your way instead. And then when we finish, that last sentence is, for yours is the kingdom and the power forever. And that really turns into the issue of, God, so today's your day. I'm going to give it to you. And that's when fulfillment comes because God made you. You're not breathing to waste air. You're breathing because you're supposed to be part of his answer for the world around you. And even if it seems small and it's just one person or one situation, you're living in your purpose in that moment when you're letting what God has done for you overflow you and you start sharing it with others. So if you see in this idea, it's like your prayer time does not begin with you. It begins with him and it doesn't end with you. It begins with others. And it's the right kind of healthy balance of what God should be doing in your life. Now, we're just going to wrap up in a moment of prayer here together. I just wanted you to get this. I'm hoping that this will be something maybe God will show you. Again, stick it on your fridge and you can look at it. But I wanted to take a moment and just have us pray together and kind of go through this. And I've asked a few people, one of our elders, King Goldman, if he'd come up, and Pastor Anidra. And I don't know if Tina's here. Is Tina here? Who would come up? And we'll probably, I don't want to run over service, so we'll just kind of, we'll figure out what we're going to do when we get up here. But I want you to come on up.